Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning for this Wednesday, the 15th of June. Very nice to have you with us. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. I was just looking at my calendar. It's Kelly's birthday this weekend. I don't have anything to do this weekend.
Oh, well, you didn't? I know exactly what you
should
do.
What can I do this weekend? Well, what can I do for, where can I bring Kelly for her birthday? What would be the perfect present, Alan?
Oh, and we will do something special for her. Come to the Berkshire Ramblers, made up, of WMC personnel, among others, are doing a benefit for Cafe Lena. There's no better benefit than doing it for them. In other words, we don't get any money. We never get any money. That's okay. So for Cafe Lena at the Grove, 233 Lake Avenue, Saratoga. I said 233 Lake Avenue, Saratoga at the Grove. The Berkshire Ramblers are going to be there, and it's going to be so much fun. Tickets are going fast. So if you want to do it, get in touch with Cafe Lena.
Is that group any good?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go that far, but we have a lot of fun, and it's a real tribute to keeping Pete's voice alive.
Can I ask just a technical question? Because you say WAMC staff, who?
Well, like Joe Brody, the chairman of the board,
okay.
And me,
yes,
and then others who come.
Oh, okay,
by something
all right. Like, so yeah. Like Ray's not in the group. Or...
No, Ray can't sing.
No, but he's a talented musician.
Oh, he is. He's a very talented jazz musician.
Yeah.
That's a bad question. Forget about it.
Okay, never mind. I was just checking. Well, it sounds great. So it's cafelena.org, I believe.
I will double check that. Tickets going fast.
Okay.
Hurry, hurry, hurry.
All right. Cafe, it's with two F's, by the way. Cafe. Lena.
Yeah.
Lena. Cafe
Lena.
With two F's.
And an accent.
It was a very long time ago that it got named, and you know.
And an accent de goût.
Right. And it's one of those things.
All right. So
it makes it sound stand out.
As it says here, it's 7 o'clock, Alan Chartok and the Berkshire Ramblers, a folk song benefit for Cafe Lena. So
yep.
that takes place at 7 o'clock at the Grove for Cafe Lena, cafelena.org. All right. Now, good morning, Alan. Thank you very much.
And thank you for allowing that.
Freeing up, giving me an idea for what to do for my dear wife.
Oh, and I hope you do.
Sounds very fun. Rosemary Armeo is here. She is director of the journalism program at the University at Albany.
I'm not selling anything for this weekend.
No, you don't have any shows this weekend
no
that you want to promote?
Weekend,
okay.
No.
And decked out in a beautiful pink sweater,
absolutely.
We welcome our good friend Libby Post, who is with us this morning. How are you?
I'm great.
It's like you're going to be glad-handing at the legislature,
yes,
or something.
I am going to be glad-handing, or not so glad-handing at the legislature. Although I have to say, beagles are now one step closer to freedom because the Beagle Bill passed yesterday. The Research Animal Retirement Act passed.
So you can't research on the beagles?
No, you can, but the bill calls for state-funded public research facilities to put those animals up for adoption.
Am I the only one who just didn't think that that was even, that that would be allowed in the first place?
What, that they
use the beagles?
For research?
Yeah.
The reason why they use beagles, as well as other animals, but beagles are affable and are very trusting, and they're small enough, and, you know, so they're
and
like,
they
okay.
Run. Boy, do they run. They run
they
away.
Do, but when
well,
they're in
they gotta go 25 miles
yeah.
away.
But there's nothing better than watching a beagle who's lived its life in a cage step foot on grass for the first time.
Yeah, that's
it's
really
cool.
It's a
lovely, lovely, wonderful
mm-hmm.
sight.
That's
mm-hmm.
And these animals can live a good life in loving homes, and that's what it's all
mm-hmm.
about.
All right. Well, everybody has... we got all the plugs out of the way.
Yes, we have. Thank you very much for that.
I'm trying to think. What could I put in here?
Don't
you have a class
engagements
coming up
or anything? Fill some seats, something. Good morning and welcome. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We have a lot to talk about, many topics in the news. We will begin with the President of the United States speaking yesterday and speaking out against Donald Trump very forcefully. And talking to the American people and saying that what Mr. Trump is saying is dangerous, and that also the use of the phrase radical Islam is not a strategy, and it was at times taunting, but it was at times very angry and tense and demanding, and it was quite powerful in watching it. The big question is, will it make a difference as far as passing any legislation that will change the situation that we're in?
It was an entirely unusual speech for a sitting president to come in on the side of the Democratic, not even official candidate, and to make a speech that was so powerful. And it bespeaks, I think, how off base Trump is in this whole, we have a crisis. Mm-hmm. And look at Republican or Democrat presidents in the past who have had something like this happen during their time in the spotlight have used it to bring people together, to call for peace and action, to do something about it. And Trump has done the opposite. That's appalling. However, some of the commentators on TV last night made a good point, which is, why the heck doesn't Obama just say radical Islamism? That's not a knock on Islam. It's definitely an outlying thing. It does call attention and specifically label what it is. We like labels. We're seeing that now as people are trying to figure out whether Orlando is a hate crime or terrorism. And Hillary has said, hey, I have no problem with it. I'll call it whatever you want, just so long as we do something about it. Why won't he do it?
I think it's because he doesn't want to say that this is actually a religious-based fight. That it's not Islam. That this is not what Islam is.
Well, extremist or radical Islamism is not religious-based.
I get that, but when you say it and you say it's radical Islam, it reinforces the notion that this is actually a tenet of the Islamic religion.
I don't get why it's a point.
Okay, he says he believes that it unfairly implicates, to Libby's point, he believes it unfairly implicates an entire religious group for the acts of militant extremists.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
Alan?
Not only is the President of the United States showing us something, as Rosemary points out, that we haven't seen before, but Republicans of virtually every stripe. Now,
wow.
I've never seen
straight,
that in my time, are going after him, you know, hook, line, and sinker. And that is something political scientists, 74 years old, never seen it before. Mm-hmm. Never seen this wholesale, you know, even the ones who say they're formally going to, you know, vote for, you know,
endorse him,
they're still telling everybody every day what he's doing that's wrong. Extraordinary.
He makes it very hard to be a supporter, I think. They have told him what mm-hmm. they need to see from him. He goes, yeah, yeah, I'll do it. And then he just turns around and he's just acting badly.
Well, I'm
we're talking about Trump now, not the president.
Yes, Donald Trump.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Just
thank
to be
you.
Clear.
So, I mean, how many...
Thank you, Libby.
And unlike the rest of you guys, I'm up at 2 o'clock in the morning, so I listen to the BBC. And they went around and they said, well, they had a whole half hour on whether or not, you know, women are insulted by Trump. And they had all these people, these women that they found at Trump rallies who were saying, I love him.
Yeah,
I
sure.
love him because he's going to build a wall because he's going to keep
people
out.
We all know the numbers. It's like an 80-20 split. So 20% of women are going to say that stuff. It does not mean.
And they're going to be at Trump rallies.
And they're going to be at Trump rallies. It does not mean that he has the support of women, nor should he have it.
No, these are women who don't think critically, that don't have any kind of feminist consciousness. No. They don't have any kind of feminist consciousness.
I agree with that part.
Whatsoever. And if you don't have any kind of feminist consciousness whatsoever, it's hard to think critically because one follows the other in my book. And women. So, you know, they don't get it. They buy the line of thinking that the dominant culture is telling them to think about Donald Trump and that he's going to build this wall and he's going to make America great again and he's a big, strong guy and that's what they want in their lives.
Did I leave you speechless?
I
just want to think about what they were saying this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Libby, that they, even though everybody who's listening is going to be against me now, they were probably saying, I am a feminist. In my own mind, I'm a feminist. I want to raise a family. That's feminine. I want to be
feminine,
at home.
Feminine, not feminist.
No, they would probably.
That's two different things.
They would probably mm-hmm. say that, Libby. I hate to take
school him, Libby.
But no, I know. It is so. It is so condescending.
Oh, you guys are so outnumbered.
It is so condescending. And the fact of the matter is,
don't drag me into this.
When, you've been very good. Say,
there's no such thing, you know, that can't then, they don't have a feminist fiber in their body.
Oddly, I agree with Alan. I don't think they lack critical thinking. I think that they are not feminists, don't have a feminist awareness, and they just discount all of his horrible misogyny,
yes,
which to me looks that way. And they see other things as more important. They believe that he is financing his own, that he's not beholden to anyone, that he's got business acumen. And to them, in their mind, twisted as I may personally see it, I can't call it stupid, in their mind, that's more important. So you're right. They do have
reasons.
You give
them a lot more credit than I do.
A lot of shows have done that. ABC or some of the networks have gone and talked to women who support Trump, and they laugh at the idea that we think he's a horrible misogynist. It's like, oh, no,
because they laugh at those
talking.
Jokes, too.
So let me just turn it to what his argument now is, because he made the speech on Tuesday. There was a great uproar, as we all have mentioned, by both Democrats, the president, the presumed nominee, Hillary Clinton, as well as many Republican leaders who, yes, have endorsed him. But he came out then last night in his first rally and says, well, look, the president is madder at me than he is at the terrorists, number one. But number two is that there are his point that he made on Tuesday and he made last night over and over and over again, is that it is Hillary Clinton who is going to allow the terrorists who have the hatred toward women, toward the LGBT community, and she's not doing enough for those communities while I have them at heart.
And by the way, I hope everybody who lives in Berkshire County will at least go to the library, if you don't subscribe, and get the Berkshire Eagle this morning, because there's an incredible article in there by a columnist you may know. No, and it's not.
It's not me.
It's Garrison Keillor. Uh-huh. And he has a huge piece about what a thug and a bully Donald Trump is, and he makes his case pretty effectively. He talks about the guys that he grew up with who had DAs. You all know what a DA is?
Yes.
Ducks behind, right. On the back of their heads. And he said he hasn't seen anything like this since the days he was growing up with the guys with the DAs. And I think when Garrison Keillor just lets it all out,
David Burns did it before weekend.
Ken Burns.
But David did it also.
Yeah. That's great.
David Burns did it also.
And it's having an effect.
Whoever he might be.
either Donald's own bad behavior or these kinds of outrage statements that we're getting are having an effect. The newest poll showed that he has had a precipitous drop.
Yeah.
Although
11 points behind.
Right. Yes.
But we can't count him out.
Shows is questions on these same polls are showing that what candidate would you trust in the event of an attack, a similar attack to what we saw in Orlando? It came out highly in favor of Donald Trump rather than Hillary Clinton. Message is still getting through.
Yes, and not only that, we don't know to whom it is getting through.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In other words, we don't really know what I've been referring to as the silent or moral, and I use that with great trepidation, majority are the people who came out and voted for this guy in every one of these primary campaigns, or most of these primary campaigns. So I'm not willing to sit back and say he's 10 point behind in the traditional polls, and therefore he's falling fast. We had a letter from Dan who said, Mr. Trump has shot his wad. You can't say that? I don't know what a wad is.
It means he put his wad of money into a cannon, Joe, and shot it over the Berkshire.
No, I don't think wad means what you think it means.
All right. All right.
I've always believed it means you go into a gambling casino and you have a wad of
big winnings. Yeah.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Mr. Trump has shot his wad. When he was one of against 16, he carved a niche where his hate speech appealed to enough people to get him into the Republican nomination. However, thankfully, the number of people who buy his hate speech does not translate to the general population, according to current polls. Yeah, well, that's my problem. Let's hope this continues and the national nightmare comes to an end. That's from Dan.
One person who is not going after Trump is Bernie Sanders, who still appears to be very concerned with his own future.
Yeah, he needs to get a grip.
I'm not so sure. Look, I voted for Bernie. I told you that.
Yes.
People have been saying, you are all out for Bernie. Well, you know, the all out from Bernie people are calling me and saying, you know, you're a sellout because now he wants to go and... The at-large delegates and all the rest of the stuff. But I have to say, I have said for weeks now, Hillary's the candidate.
Get over it.
Personally, I don't speak for any radio station ever, but personally, I'm voting for Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday I had the Supreme Court scholar, Phil Lacovara, and it's going to be very special. He was the guy who argued the Nixon tapes. Before the Supreme Court, and we did a 2-hour interview, which we're going to be playing.
Interesting.
But the court is a superb and important group of people who make policy, and the idea that Trump would be appointing those people because people voted for Bernie as opposed to Hillary or didn't vote, that's beyond anything I can understand.
Yeah, and he's going to, I mean, he was quoted as saying he's going to let people like the Heritage Foundation make those decisions for him.
We're going to take a break. We'll pause it there. We'll come back. We'll talk about other issues as well. We welcome your letters. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. And we will continue our conversation after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post make up the group this morning, and we're thrilled that you are along for the ride as well. We welcome your comments, roundtable@WAMC.org. We love your letters.
We do. We love your letters.
Roundtable.
We love them, and sometimes we even agree with them.
I want to real quick get to just one part of the story, and then we'll get back to the letters real quick. But then there's also, while we're talking about Donald Trump, Russian government hackers penetrated the DNC, stole opposition research on Trump. I don't understand this story quite.
Me neither. What do they want to do with it?
They want to give it to Trump so he knows what they're going to come at and attack him with. Because
he and Putin are in cahoots.
Right.
That's your theory?
Yeah, that's my theory. Well, a little conspiracy-like, but nonetheless.
I think Joe is on to something here. He wants to know why they need it, what it is. He doesn't quite get it. I don't get it either. I don't see what they are going to use the material for.
Well, if he becomes president, it'll be the ability to undermine him, they think. It's one possible.
By the way, the
Israelis have done exactly the same thing.
When it comes to opposition research on Donald Trump, Google his name.
Caught.
I mean, like, I don't know. What opposition?
Or the New York Times, which is coming out, or the Wall Street Journal is coming out with this series of stories about him, the latest one about it, the way he conducted the gambling empire in New Jersey, which is... in Atlantic City, which is horrible on the backs of
small businessmen
and workers. Yeah.
The basic of that report is that the casino went down the tubes, and the only person who made money in that as it went belly up was Donald Trump.
Trump paid himself a huge salary, and investors were stuck with the bill, so were contractors and workers who relied on him to get paid.
He's a despicable person. Government bailouts 4 times.
Yeah.
He filed for bankruptcy
and boasts
4 times.
About it, even in the article where the New York Times is presenting evidence to him of his horrible business sense. He goes, "Yeah, I made a lot of money in New Jersey. It was great." He doesn't get it.
Meanwhile, it was his birthday yesterday. He was 70 years old.
Yes, he's an old
70,
man on top
70,
of it.
Yes.
I had no idea. So, I was
70 years old.
Much younger than I am.
Hillary Clinton, 68 years old. Donald Trump, 70 years old. Okay, let's go to some letters.
I want to read Michael Michael's letter. He titles it WAD. While shooting one's wad may have contemporary indications otherwise, its original connotation is that someone had exhausted their resources in that the wad necessary for muzzle-loading firearms and cannons was difficult to reload quickly. This would imply that Trump has exhausted his appeal in any significant sense. However, I just want to thank you, Michael, for doing that because my colleagues
read the one from Danny. Read the one from Danny.
Danny, where's Danny? Dan?
No,
we're off on a tangent, Danny. Libby.
That has nothing to do with
us. You and I can go
out
in the hallway and talk about it while the men discuss their equipment.
About shooting
Danny.
Their rods. Right.
This is an incredibly telling moment of how selectively out of touch can be naively saying shoot is what, as if there was no other colloquial meaning but behind it use it when referring to gambling. Pretty funny. And thanks to for the rest of you for cringing immediately. First of all, I don't think everybody cringe. And second of all, I'm right. And you happen to be wrong, Danny. So go away.
We all cringe, Danny. Yeah. You're right on that.
No, you're wrong.
Can we take a vote?
No, you're all wrong. What kind of puritanical panel is this anyway? When I knew full well it had to do with loading one's musket and not enough ammunition.
And we're talking about feminist analysis here, Rosemary. Maybe you and I should perhaps.
Alan is my kind of feminist. All right.
Somebody said Alan is my kind of feminist.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Let's just skip any other letter having to do with WAD. Okay.
We had enough WAD.
All right.
We have shot. No. Okay.
No,
so,
no.
So Michael says, Jesus "How long, God. Mr. Trump, will you go on abusing our patience?" Says Michael.
It's a refraction period.
And Tom says, "Good morning, Roundtable. The Russians were practicing for bigger things." Elizabeth says, "When Charlie Hebdo's attacked in Paris, straight Americans changed their Facebook profiles and talked about it constantly. Yet this attack on queer people in Orlando has shown a resounding silence." I don't think that's true at all.
Lots of Facebook
stuff.
We've
talked about it all
Absolutely
for three
not.
Straight programs.
And I can tell you, I've been to two vigils, one Monday night, one Tuesday night, and it wasn't all just LGBT people.
There were plenty of straight people there
standing up, plenty of people, religious people, you know, people of faith and clergy people. Standing up, and even people from the Islamic Center here.
Right.
So let's not.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. I'm not sure what that's based on.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we got that from Michael. Thank you, Michael. It's good to have a colleague who knows what he's talking about here. So Paul says, maybe the Russians are going to hand the opposition research files over to Trump. I'm convinced Putin wants Trump to win. Well, Trump has been very strong on Putin, right?
Yes.
He's been saying he's a good man.
Remember when
George Bush looked into his eyes and said,
"And Putin
I know
would
he's
like
a good
Trump
man.
To be president."
Yeah. I think so.
Bonnie says, "I got choices. One, go and vote for the candidate that doesn't bring on nausea. Two, pack my bags and two cats and move to Canada where I'm understood in at least 50% of the country. Three, praying that the brain dead is real and the aliens get them, in quotes, first before more insanity descends on us." Okay.
A reference to a television program, Brain Dead, which is
I don't watch that.
Premiered on CBS by the makers of The Good Wife, which includes it's all about Washington, but having to do with zombies being a part of our Congress.
And they might be right.
Yeah.
And Ken says to Bernie supporters on Hillary's candidacy, "Get over it. I would suggest a tack of find your peace with it. I voted for Bernie. I will vote for Hillary. Kicking folks when they're down doesn't advance the common cause." That's what Ken says.
It is interesting that we're not hearing from the rabid Bernieites that we used to.
Oh, no, we hear from
them. So yeah. I think Bernie really is right on the edge. He has done a remarkable thing and should, you know, now switch into a different mode. And instead, this hanging on and carrying out the campaign until the convention is threatening to make a joke out of him.
Well, I don't really know. Look, you've heard what I have to say about my voting for Hillary and thinking
it
needs to be done. Nevertheless, I think Bernie is fighting for the soul of the Democratic Party as he sees it. And he thinks that Hillary is a part of the old Boys and Girls establishment. And wants to bring it to the attention of the country that we have another direction that we can go in. Are you laughing, Joe?
I'm fine.
Yeah, you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I agree with that. I'm just suggesting that his tactics are counterproductive.
counterproductive.
If he wants the soul of the Democratic Party, he isn't getting it this way.
Right.
By saying, I'm running.
Well, you know,
she can lose. I'm going to convince the superdelegates. It's silly.
Yeah. Last night I spoke to someone who has been a constant on my Facebook page. She's a Bernie person. Mm-hmm. And she's calmed down after I asked everybody to calm down. But, you know, I said, well, you're not voting for Trump, are you? And she said, oh, absolutely not. I said, so good, you'll vote. Then you need to vote for Hillary. No. Absolutely not. I'm voting for Jill Stein. I was like, okay, fine.
And by the way, you'll be hearing a whole hour interview I did with Jill Stein and her rationale.
And
he's
just going to
promote
some of those
stuff
people.
This whole program.
Well, that's what we do here. It's our radio station, all of ours. And we want people to know, because I get constant mail, when are you going to interview Jill Stein?
So there you go.
So we interview Jill Stein.
Yeah. Because basically she called and wanted to be interviewed.
Oops. She was available.
She was doing her flack was doing a good job.
He was
getting her
and he
out.
Did.
And
he
saying,
did.
Oh, yeah,
he did.
That's our job.
So I heard Alan is right. Says.
Oh God, he reads all of those.
Stephen.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Those are
well,
the
look
first
for
ones.
Them. Alan is right. No more needs to be said, and that's from Stephen, and he's a PhD.
Right,
so
about
he knows.
What? What are you right about?
In general,
now?
I think they were general. We were talking about a number of things. We were talking about feminism. I was right there. We were talking about.
Don't say it.
Bernie and Hillary. I was right there.
And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this short message.
Support for WMZ comes from Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York, specializing in distinctive eyewear, including Zenka from Paris and Coco Song from Italy, eye exams by appointment, EYEDENTITY eyewearalbany.com. Myron Wine and Spirits, Kingston. Since 1960, Wine and Spirits Shop, with thousands of imported and domestic wines and spirits and staff for questions and advice. Myron Wine and Spirits on Facebook. Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. And the Hudson River Valley National Heritage Area, featuring 100 partner heritage attractions connecting people to the story of the Hudson River Valley. HudsonRiverValley.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. I promised this yesterday because we gave it short shrift. We only had a few moments at the end of the program, and I wanted to get to the topic of Brock Turner and the Stanford rape case that took place pretty much while we were gone, although there was major coverage of it over the weekend, especially in the New York Times. This was the man who was sentenced to 6 months for sexual assault, and a great deal of criticism coming to the judge in that sentencing, saying that the sentence should have been, could have been, and should have been, they believe, much longer. Which I believe, and I don't have the, I don't have this right in front of me, but could have been up to 10 years, correct?
It's even more than that, actually.
And I think they were calling for, those were calling for 6 years mm-hmm. in this particular gentleman, mm-hmm. This particular man. I apologize. So your thoughts on this case as we look forward?
It's a wonderful case for those of us who want more attention spent on a sexual assault. John Krakauer wrote an entire book, Missoula, trying to get at it, and I think this case is so much better than any of the ones he used in his book that my first thought when I read the letter that the victim wrote, the impact statement, I said, Krakauer wrote this. It's just too well done. It's just too amazing, and it hits all the buttons. It points up to the rape culture on campuses, mm-hmm. the idea that athletes can get away with anything. It raises questions that I think we have yet to deal with about the responsibility of both girls on one side and boys on the other. Why is it all on the girls?
Yeah.
And in this case, the perpetrator, Brock Turner, tried to say, oh, you know, we both made mistakes. We drank too much. We made bad decisions. And she rightly called him out and said, yeah, I made a mistake. I got too drunk. You got drunk and raped me.
Right.
So you're the bad one here. These
no
are not
excuse.
Equal.
There's just no excuse.
None.
for rape. And, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on Facebook and on the internet about men having to take responsibility for their actions. And
but I also hate the idea that, which is a new one, it's a new form of feminism, that women can do anything. Free the nipple, I can run naked, I can get as drunk as I want, and the boys still have to be good to me. I think it's a shared responsibility. That's what I've always taught my kids. But in this case, so we're heroes, too. A monster was raping a woman, taking her picture and sending nude pictures of her to his friends behind a dumpster of all things, as if that was in any way. What woman ever would consent to rape or to sex, even if it was consensual, behind a dumpster? It's disgusting. But two boys came up on a bike and said, "Hey, dude, what are you doing?" And they chased him, caught him, and held him for the police helped the woman. Yeah. So, you know, there's good in the story. The judge now has become the focus of attention.
Yeah, a million people on a petition. Mm-hmm. A million people on the recall.
And I understand the anger, but we have a bigger question here, which is the independence of our judiciary.
Yes.
And I don't know, I'd like to hear what you think about electing judges. But in this case, this judge is getting a loud message that if he shows any leniency, in this case, I think it was for a bad reason, but we do give our judges, I want our judges to have discretion. If he shows leniency, he may lose his job. That is not a good message.
Oh, by the way, I think he's going to lose his job.
Yeah, me too.
Well, the Santa Clara District Attorney yesterday filed a challenge Tuesday against the judge preventing him from hearing a unrelated sex assault case.
Right.
So he's
just
being removed from those cases.
Right. And jurors refuse to sit in his courtroom. They've said, "I won't do it if he's the judge." I just want to go back to something that you said, that the shared responsibility part of this. I get what you're saying, but I also think if women were walking around naked, they still shouldn't be subject to rape. I'm sorry. You know, men need to be able to control themselves. Now, I'm not saying women should walk around naked. That's not the point. But men need to take responsibility for sexual violence and the role that they play in it. And yes, you know, okay, so let's not get drunk. Let's not put ourselves in bad situations. But that is just blaming the victim, where it's the men who are the ones who are doing the victimization.
The cases that Krakauer used, and this is a writer who is very strongly on the women's side. I, as a mother of sons, I would have voted against him. In one case, the woman flirtingly tells this young man that she'd like to do him, then invites him to her room to watch a movie and cuddle. She picks him up and drives him to her house, allows him to take off her shirt. They're cuddling, and he begins to do more than that. And she goes, "No, no." And he kind of does it anyway. After which, she drives him home, does not call out asking help for a roommate, and then, after it's all over at the end of the night, says, "Oh, my, I think I was raped." I'm sorry, as a juror, I would have a hard time sending that young man to jail for 14 years.
I don't know. From my perspective, no means no. That's just it.
It's when yes turns into no at what point. That's the problem. And women have to be aware of that.
But that's not anti-feminist. But men have to respect when women say no, regardless at what point they're at.
And let's talk about the sentencing, too, because I do want to bring the other aspect to this case, which was brought out many times by critics of the sentence that was seen by many as to be too lenient, is comparing it to a Vanderbilt football player. And this is the race aspect of the case. Vanderbilt football player Corey Beatty must serve a mandatory minimum sentence of 15 to 25 years for raping an unconscious woman. Brock Turner will serve 6 months in jail for the exact same crime.
Right.
Yeah, that's just pure racism.
And race plays an incredible part in our judicial system. And
for both the accused and the victim.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. You know, who knows what would have happened if the victim in this case was a woman of color? You know?
Yeah. Would we even have had a case?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Alan, do you want in on this?
I am sitting here listening to both of our colleagues go back and forth on this, and I find myself siding, not unexpectedly, with Rosemary, on this, because I think these things are very complicated. They are not easy. Rosemary said the right thing. I have three sons. You know,
and I have one.
You know, all of us know that no means no. You're exactly right, Libby. But it depends when that no is called for. And if somebody's being set up the way that Rosemary defined
this,
it.
This was a case that Krakauer used as a good example, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's all I have to say on this. That's enough.
All right. Let's go to some letters, and we will we'll finish out the hour with those.
Okay. That's thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. I'm on the run here. So the product of a dysfunctional, albeit corrupt, process is to win for a Democratic candidate, and they still call it a win. That's why Bernie's going to Philadelphia, and the Democrats say she won fair and square in a corrupt process that is at best hilarious. I don't know if that was on purpose or not. Again, the Democrats are clueless. That's why they need someone like Bernie to remind them. Thank you, Dan, for that letter. Very important that you did it. When talking about shared responsibility, says Daniel, they should also look at the reverse. How would the judge rule if a gay man raped another man just because the victim was drunk or shirtless? Would he be as lenient?
I'm sorry, can you read that again?
Certainly. When talking about shared responsibility, they, meaning I think the panel, should also look at the reverse. How would the judge rule if a gay man raped another man just because that victim was drunk or shirtless? Would he be as lenient?
I have no idea.
Well, it's a tough one.
Rape, first of all, rape is rape. And the majority of male-on-male rape is not by gay men. That's
right.
I mean, let's be real about this, okay? But rape is rape, and the
wasn't the question.
Right,
the question was one of prejudice. In other words, would a judge in contemporary society
say a gay man could rape another man?
No, would they be as intolerant or more tolerant or less tolerant?
It has to do with the judge.
Well, it does.
If the Brock case came up in front of another judge, he could have gotten a completely different sentence.
I'll tell you one thing. If any of these cases come up before any judge in America
right now,
there's going to be significant thinking going on. I've been following this case religiously, says Elizabeth and Beacon, and I'm disgusted by the result of Mr. Turner's sentencing. I would like to add that consent should be the presence of a yes rather than the absence of a no, getting away from the antiquated terminology of no means no.
That's the problem. If you take off your shirt and you're rolling around in bed with them, is that a yes or a no? Even if she's saying no, She got to that point. That's why you have a jury picking it. They're hard. It's not as simple as...
Would you answer the question?
What question?
Well, if you take off your shirt and you're rolling around in bed with him and she's going...
I think that's an invitation to sex.
Okay. Suzanne says, I had to pull over to write after listening in horror to Rosemary's outdated and dangerous opinion about consent. It's never too late to say no, and consent is not the absence of a no. You are contributing to rape culture with this attitude.
So
I don't understand that.
So here's one of the great feminists of our time, Rosemary Armijo.
Yeah.
And somebody will always, if you express a view, somebody will always say to me or to you or to anybody else.
Do you understand Suzanne's the point that she's making?
Yes, and Krakauer writes about this. Why I've read deeply on it, because I am disturbed, actually, by my own thinking about it. But I would not send a boy to prison for 15 years. And he also was an athlete, but that has nothing to do with it. He's a 23-year-old kid.
20.
And I would, Well, in Turner's case, I'm talking about Krakauer.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
But I think the idea of consent is important. I think the idea of rape. I've called for women need to take back rape. It's used to hold us down and to control us here and everywhere in the world. That's why women in Saudi Arabia are not allowed to drive, because if they're out in their car, somebody could stop them and rape them by the side of the road. So it's used as an excuse to limit freedom. I am totally against it, but I think the pendulum is swinging the other way. And when you are balancing what has happened to a woman versus taking decades of freedom away from a person, you better be weighing everything more than just a simple no means no, or if I say yes, it's going to contribute to a rape culture. I think that's an abstract.
We have heard from about 10 people who want to remind us that no is no. So I'm not going to read each of the individual letters.
We're saying no to the letters.
And Barbara, my friend from Great Barrington, makes it clear that Somebody should explain to me what shoot your wad means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. Call back later. Not in the middle of the rape discussion.
Yeah, right, right. Well, I certainly sympathize with Libby's frustration at women who support Trump. It may be that their so-called lack of a shred of feminist consciousness stems less from an inability to think critically and more from a failure of the mainstream feminist movement to recognize and include poor women. Instead of including their thoughts, feelings, and observations, mainstream feminism has consistently ignored, condescended to, or tokenized poor women and their experiences and struggles. Is it any more absurd that these women turn to a demagogue who appeals to their fears than to a cohort of white wealthy women telling them how to feel about their lives? As feminists, we ought to be listening to these women and finding ways to make our case to them instead of calling them stupid. I usually don't read anything that long, but I thought it was a good letter.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We are out of time. I want to thank everybody who wrote in and remind you, you can write in as well. Roundtable@WAMC.org. My thanks to Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. We'll be back with more show after this.